answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
This concern all along. I said from the beginning, if there was a deal to be made, Donald Trump could make it. But there apparently is no deal to be made. So he's right to say, let's just finish the job. I think the rest of the our allies and partners in the region would appreciate that as well. Heck, we've seen the strikes against Bahrain, Qatar. And I just saw open source reporting that there was some strikes in Jordanian airspace. Jordan. I mean, they're going after everybody just to act out because they're upset about the fact that they haven't been able to make a deal or even in good faith with the United States. This is crazy, and it's time to end this. I think the Iranian people, you see these AstroTurf crowds supporting the regime in Tehran, but I don't believe that propaganda. I think the Iranian people are supportive of the United States coming in and helping them achieve liberty. And I think that's the direction we need to go.
I think that's exactly correct. And those statements coming from Arkansas Republican Rick Crawford on the House Intel Committee. Deal or no deal? There is no deal right now. But just when we say that, Trump is still trying to find a way. Can we possibly get these guys to realize that I'm giving them every opportunity, and the world is seeing this. This is going to absolutely upset the apple cart, as you might say, for those who are convinced that, Trump just wants to carry out genocide. No, he's looking for every way to avoid it and to protect the Iranian people, not the regime, but the Iranian people. And the latest word coming from the White House is at this point, is that once again, and I'm going to quote CNN here for you as they headline it, as it appears on their page as I'm watching right now. It'll probably change when you check it, if you even bother watching or following CNN. I know it's dirty, nasty work. Somebody's got to do it. I'll do it for you so you can keep your hands clean and your mind clear of their clutter, gutter garbage they have. But again, their headline reading, Trump again declares ceasefire over, but again says U.S. has agreed to talks with Iran. They want you to believe, on one hand, he's confused. He doesn't know what he's doing. He knows damn well what he's doing. He is aware of the state and the art of negotiation. Fighting, once again, supposedly has paused. But neither side showing signs of compromise as mediators trying to restart negotiations. But again, just yesterday, Trump said, we're done. I'm done. The way I see it, it's done. You cannot deal with these people. I tend to agree with that. And again, Congressman Crawford of Texas, Arkansas, I should say, said, we just need to break it off. We just need to break off trying to reach an agreement with these guys and, quote, finish the job. What does that mean? Let me come back to that in a moment. First of all, welcome aboard. Hour number one, Larry Connors, USA, July 10, 2026. Out of the gate like a bull again. We come into the program with excitement, enthusiasm, anxious to get all this information in front of you. And with Larry Connors USA, I remind you, you are going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You leave each hour with more knowledge than you have right now. And while we're on the air, as I am right now, you can watch us. We are streaming video. You can watch it, News Talk SCL Rumble, Larry Connors USA Rumble. And, of course, you can go to News Talk SCL Facebook or Twitter, Larry Connors USA Facebook. And everything goes up later as a podcast in case you have to break away. You have family business, things of that nature, I understand. But we put everything up as a podcast so you can go back and pick up what you missed. And more importantly, then you can share it with others. You are our multiplying factor, and I thank you when you do that. We got a report just yesterday or 2 days ago, right, Jerome, that our numbers are jumping up again on what Apple Podcast, I think it was, or something. We don't even promote that for you. But we tell you, you can go anywhere to get the podcast. The ones that we push is News Talk STL. And, of course, LarryConnorsUSA.com and LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. But you go to any podcast outlet you prefer, your choice. Search Larry Connors USA. You're going to find us. In our next hour, former Texas Congressman Louie Gohmert absolutely criticizing the birthright ruling coming out of the Supreme Court the other day, saying what they decided is going to ruin this nation, if not destroy it. Former Congressman Gohmert, would join us later. And later in this hour, Hans von Spakovsky on Donald Trump and the elections coming up. And in fact, Trump has today taken some action that's got a lot of Democrats upset, warning that he's going to destroy our nation. He fired the remaining Democrat members of the Independent Election Assistance Commission. And already we're hearing from the left say, oh my God, he's taking over, he's going to be a king again. He never has been. But that's what they're predicting and so forth. And Hans von Spakovsky had served previously as a member of the Federal Election Commission. You'll be interested in his take on what took place and what will happen next. And our story behind the story, the Rolling Stones and their visits to St. Louis and elsewhere in our nation, and some in-depth interview clips with Mick Jagger and Keith Richards. That's all to come in the story behind the story later this hour. Now back to the issue we started, trying to deal with Iran one way or the other. Arkansas Congressman Crawford with the House Intel Committee says, I think we just need to go back and finish the job. To hell with the dealing. Go back, finish the job. Question to the congressman, what does that mean?
We have to absolutely restore free flow of the Strait of Hormuz. That can't continue to be leveraged for the Iranians. It has been for 47 years. They have used the Strait of Hormuz as leverage in every engagement, every opportunity they could. And it's time for that to end, number one. Number two, there can be no more ballistic missile production, no more nuclear proliferation at all. And I think President Trump agrees with that. What the Strait of Hormuz and their ability to leverage it has done is allowed them the operating space to create ballistic missiles, which allowed for them to create nuclear possibilities. And so all of those things have to stop.
They have to stop. Now, of course, the president just left the NATO summit in Turkey. And there's some interesting background behind that. First of all, the NATO members were really happy with it. And you're going to hear later in our program from our U.S. Ambassador Whitaker on these NATO talks and how successful they were. Not just for us, but for the NATO countries. They all basically applaud what Trump is doing. And even, as I pointed out yesterday, even Illinois Senator Dick Durbin said Trump did the right thing because he asked the other nations pony up more money to support NATO. You say you're supporting it, put more money in the pot. And even Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois said, that's not an unreasonable ask. And do you remember when Trump had originally come into office and he told the NATO members, if you're not going to give more money, then we'll withdraw our money. Good luck with that over in NATO. You want to do that without our money? And he told the UN the same thing. For the member nations, you put more money in. You can afford it, do it. We're not going to continue to support everything. And you know who was happiest with that? NATO leadership, UN leadership, because they're getting more money. Only because Trump said, these other nations need to contribute more. It's a win-win all the way around to that extent. By the way, there was a decision made, the Secret Service apparently sending out word that they were a little concerned about the president leaving Turkey on that new Air Force One that had been provided to him by the nation of Qatar. They Secret Service advised him not to leave the NATO summit in Turkey on that new Air Force One, but stay with the current older Air Force One that flew you to Turkey, leave Turkey the same way. They have not detailed what they found, what they suspected, but for some reason, the issue is not so much the jet itself, but leaving Turkey. So the Qatari plane was sent on to England, and Trump landed there and then boarded it. The last leg of the trip on the newer plane during a stop at Royal Air Force Mendenhall, a base used by the U.S. military. Now, the newer Air Force One, provided by Qatari, commercial jetliner from Boeing 747-8 gifted to Trump from Qatar. And, of course, you got the left claiming he's getting a gift. He's getting rich. It's the U.S. president's plane. Future presidents will use the same plane. We've been building a new one, but we're months and months behind. So Qatar decided, we'll help you. We'll give you one. We'll help donate it for you. 18 feet longer than the older Air Force One. It will have a comprehensive battle-tested Cold War defense suite. Maintain the ability to blind incoming aircraft missiles. Now, when they shifted the travel plans, Trump did tell reporters, the shift in travel plans to leave Turkey on our current Air Force One, he said it was not due to security concern. But other sources have said the Secret Service told him, do not leave Turkey on that plane. Why, we still don't know. But he told journalists, you know, you're on a dangerous flight because of the sleazebags we have to deal with. I'm sure all those journalists, especially the legacy liberal libtard journalists, were shaking in their boots. Oh, my God. We hope President Trump can actually protect us. In the meantime, Islamists continue to push across the face of the USA. I'm not talking about just Muslims. Muslims, if you want to use it that way. I'm talking about the Islamists who really want to push Sharia law to eventually force Sharia law across this nation. We previously discussed numerous locations, including in Texas. Here's another target, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Outrage is erupting in Little Rock, Arkansas, over a city-approved Islamic residential project that requires buyers to sign a private Islamic bill of assurance where the community would be ruled by Sharia law. It will have two mosques, an Islamic school, clinic, and related facilities under ongoing control by the linked mosque organization. The project sits in the John Barrow neighborhood area of Little Rock on a six-acre site. City planning records show the Little Rock Planning Commission approved the New Africa development by the Islamic Center for Human Excellence, or ICHE, on a 10-to-zip vote in December of 2020. Okay, here are the details. 22 single-family homes planned with multiple homes already built and sold. Additional lots approved. Two prayer halls totaling nearly 10,000 square feet. One 2,953-square-foot mosque on Lot 7, and one 6,750-square-foot mosque on Lot 23.
All right, let's take a break on the description of what's going to be built. Key thing here is you have to be Muslim. You have to adhere to Sharia law to live in the community. We don't have two laws in this nation. We have our U.S. Constitution. Now, we have various laws in various states, granted, but we have one constitution and everything is under that. Sharia law is not anywhere near what we recognize as civil law, much less meaningful to the public. Sharia law, they already have some of their enclaves having Sharia banks set up for various communities, lending only to those of Muslim descent and religion and adherence, and then you're going to tell them you cannot move into this community unless you're going to practice Sharia law. Where do we hear the cry from the ACLU? This is discrimination. It's discrimination based on religion. Where the hell's the ACLU? They are absolutely quiet. But let me give you an example how this begins to spread. Look what New York is facing right now. Socialist Mayor Mondami puts out a new map celebrating the city's immigrant enclaves. Talking about the immigrants that built New York City. And there are numerous ones. Not only that city, but our nation. We are a nation of immigrants, legal immigrants. But his map that Mondami put out from the mayor's office to celebrate the city's ethnic neighborhoods, titled New York City Immigrant Enclaves, features 30 communities, including numerous Muslim communities, Yemen, Pakistan, Egyptian, Palestinian neighborhoods, Chinese, Korean, Albanian, Colombian, Dominican, Ecuadorian, Indian, Haitian, Polish. They were all recognized. But you know what? They absolutely omitted from the New York enclaves that helped build America, the Italians, the Irish, and any Jews. That's what they're pushing for in this nation. Once again, to what their plan is underway right now, by 10-0 vote, who the hell arranged that vote in Little Rock, Arkansas?
A 4,500-square-foot Islamic educational building and school, health clinic, community garden, playground, and parking spaces. Perpetual oversight by ICHE or the New Africa Homeowners Association. The binding Islamic Bill of Assurance that every buyer and seller must sign states, in part, buyers and sellers are aware that this development is for the purpose of creating a wholly owned residential, all Islamic community conforming to the social guidelines given in the Quran, and all parties agree to this purpose.
Then where
it includes enforcing the rules on architecture, maintenance, and Quranic moral codes, aka Sharia, such as restrictions on alcohol, with a mosque-linked HOA holding permanent control.
Oh, you lost me right there. Even if I was going to buy into the, you said no alcohol. Oh, you, I ain't going in there. That's another form of discrimination. This is what's happening, and if we continue to let it happen. In the next hour, White House Deputy Advisor Stephen Miller will tell you how they're going to basically take over our nation if we continue to allow this to happen. Coming up in our next segment, Hans von Spakovsky on election integrity. And the story behind the story today, the Rolling Stones and their numerous visits to St. Louis, and some interviews with Mick Jagger, and more. It's all coming up. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying Gesundheit, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesundheit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. true comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Boom, 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 boom. Gonna shoot your eye down.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, of course, last month, the U.S. Supreme Court decided the president has the authority to fire executives if he chooses to do so. Well, he just fired the remaining Democrat members of the Independent Election Assistance Commission. And, of course, immediately he got backfire from the Democrats, including Senate Minority, correct me, oh my God, not majority, Minority Leader Chuck Schumer vowing, we're going to fight this power grab at every turn. Well, joining us to give us a full perspective on this, Hans von Spakovsky, currently Senior Legal Fellow with Advancing American Freedom, but he has served as an FEC Federal Election Commissioner. Hans, welcome aboard.
Larry, thanks for having me. Now, just one correction.
Yes, sir.
The U.S. Election Assistance Commission is a four-member commission. One of the Republican slots was empty because that commissioner, Don Palmer, left in May.
Right.
But the president fired the three remaining commissioners, but one of them is a Republican.
He
fired the two Democratic commissioners and a Republican named Christy McCormick. Look, I don't have a problem with him firing the two Democratic commissioners for reasons I can outline, but I think, frankly, it was a mistake for him to fire Christy McCormick. She's actually a good conservative, and she's been trying change things at the agency.
Let me point something out. I certainly believe in what you're saying, but here's the way The Hill reports it. They say that she resigned.
Well, yeah, but that's only because she's a Republican. Apparently, the White House gave her the option to resign. If she hadn't agreed to resign, they would have fired her, too.
Okay. All right. Now, let's also get something clear. You were a member of the Federal Election Commission. They're calling this the Independent Election Assistance Commission. Is there a difference between them? I know they were founded at different times, and we've had a lot of changes. Help us understand where we are on that, please.
Yeah, the Federal Election Commission is the commission that actually enforces all of the federal laws that govern the raising and spending of money in federal campaigns, congressional campaigns, the presidential campaigns. The EAC, the Election Assistance Commission, that is a separate agency. It does not have any regulatory or enforcement authority, with one exception. It was created in 2002, actually, when the Help America Vote Act was passed. And the whole point of it was to provide advice and recommendations on best practices to election officials, but they don't have any authority to tell election officials what to do. There's one big exception to that, and that's probably what caused Trump to fire these folks. They have authority over the federal voter registration form.
Mm-hmm.
That was the form established by the National Voter Registration Act. And about 10 years ago, Kansas passed the first law saying you got to provide proof of citizenship
Uh-oh.
When you register to vote. And they asked the EAC to put special instructions on the federal voter registration form that would tell anybody who was using that federal form to register to vote in Kansas that in addition to filling out the form, they have to provide proof of citizenship. The two Democratic commissioners voted to block that. The two Republican commissioners voted to accept that, and they've been at loggerheads ever since, with
All right.
Democrats refusing to change their vote on that.
All right, now that is voter ID, but there's still another question I have inside of that, and forgive my ignorance, that's why we call you the expert in, and that is that they also are in charge of maintaining the National Mail Voter Registration Form, as you mentioned, in accordance with the National
right.
Voter Registration Act of 1993, and that said nothing about right. you must be a legal citizen.
No, but if states say, yeah, you can register using this form, but then you then have to provide evidence that you're actually a U.S. citizen, that to me is perfectly in accord with the law. Now, the Supreme Court, unfortunately, in a decision a number of years ago, said states like Kansas can't do that. They can't require proof of citizenship for people using the federal form unless this agency, the EAC, agrees to do it. And that's why the Democratic commissioners ever since then have blocked the ability of states to use a form to do that. But Christy McCormick, one of the commissioners at the White House, unfortunately fired, one of the Republican commissioners, she all along has voted to try to allow states to do this. And that's why I think in the rush of the White House on this, they made a mistake in firing her. They should have left her there.
Okay. So you admit she, quote, was fired, offered the opportunity to resign. If she didn't, then she would have been fired.
Right.
So it would be a total yeah. house cleaning, so it wouldn't look like it's a bias house cleaning. Am I correct?
Yeah, I think so. But again, I just think that was a mistake because it's the two Democratic commissioners that were a problem. It was not her.
All right. Now, again, folks, you're listening to Hans Montepulciani, currently the senior legal fellow with Advancing American Freedom. We've had him on numerous times over the years, formerly with Heritage Foundation. I know you love and respect him as I do, but Hans has had his own argument against the appointment of Democrats and mainstream Republicans in the Trump administration back in February 22 of 2017. You sent an email against complaining about some of those announcements and the appointments.
Right.
It got forward to the U.S. Attorney General at the time. Then the email led the civil rights leaders to call for you to step down from the commission. I mean, they were after your throat immediately. Why?
Well, my point was, this was on the President Trump's Commission on Election Integrity. You know, what I said was that the Democrats who were appointed that commission would do everything they could to sabotage its work and prevent it from doing anything. And I was...
Correct.
Unfortunately, proven accurate.
Yep. You were.
In fact, it was so bad that the Democratic Secretary of State of Maine, who was one of the people appointing the commission, sued the commission to stop it from being able to carry out its duties.
All right. Now, again, the Federal Election Commission, which you served as a part of, and that's where some of this yep. uproar started. it does have validity. It does have control, regulatory issues, things of that nature. So, again, it is separate from the Independent Election Assistance Commission, and the FEC has a lot more control and direction. Why do we need two different ones to begin with?
Well, they basically separated it. You know, the FEC only deals with the money raised and spent in federal campaigns, and the EAC was designed to, like I said, provide advice to the states on the best way to run elections. But Congress did not want to give it any kind of enforcement or regulatory authority because they were afraid you'd have this federal agency telling state election officials, here's how you have to run your election.
Right.
And they didn't want that happening.
And that comes back to the proven identity that you are an American before you can vote in a federal election. And yet we hear the Democrats still cry out, this is disenfranchisement. The minorities cannot get an ID. They don't know how. They can't afford it. I just came back from Vegas, and I'm watching the line of people go through TSA. Every minority member had to show a photo ID of some type before they were allowed to get on the damn plane. So why can't we force that for elections?
We can't. And the states that have put in ID requirements 20 years ago, like Georgia and Indiana, have shown that that claim that somehow minorities, blacks and others, why they can't deal with it, that has proven to be untrue. And it is a patronizingly racist claim.
Yes. And it is. I agree. And I would think that the minority groups, and many of them are awake about this, they're realizing we've been duped by the Democrats. They come gather us up for an election, then drop us back off on the urban plantation, and they just leave us, have no care and concern until Election Day. Your final thoughts on all of this, sir?
My final thoughts are that we have an election coming up in just a few months. And we need to be doing everything we can to ensure that it is a secure election with integrity, honesty, and fairness. And that means doing things like passing the SAVE Act in the U.S. Senate.
All right. Well, I want to thank you, Hans. I reached out. I want the audience to know I reached out to you late this morning on this story, and you were able to oblige. I certainly appreciate it.
Sure thing, Larry. Anytime.
You too. God bless you. Have a great weekend, sir. Hans von Spakovsky, Senior Legal Fellow, Advancing American Freedom. And again, the SAVE Act, that's why it's so critical. And Trump says, I'm not going to sign the Housing Act if you don't pass the SAVE Act. Well, what's that going to mean? We'll get into that in more detail in the next hour. But coming up next, the story behind the story, the Rolling Stones.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta. But you just visit the website, NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. true comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Papa was a rolling stone,
my son.
Wherever he lay, happy was his home.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
Concert goers were excited 46 years ago this week when the Rolling Stones played St. Louis. Our vintage KSDK takes us to the then Kiel Auditorium on July 11th, 1978 for the sold-out show. It was a long night. Keith Richards and the band finally took the stage at 11:15 for a concert that went to almost 1 a.m. The St. Louis stop was part of a seven-week tour. And right now, the Rolling Stones are performing in their final U.S. tour. Can you believe it? 46 years later, the band will finish their Hackney Diamonds tour at the new Thunder Ridge Nature Arena, July 21st. And where is that? It's the new venue in Ridgedale, Missouri, just south of Branson. So they're wrapping up the whole thing in Missouri.
That is a report from Channel 5 about the Stones appearing at the Kiel in July 1978. But that was not their first appearance in St. Louis, nor at the Kiel. The Stones had been at the Kiel Auditorium July 1966, that was their first performance in St. Louis, and they played two packed shows in 1972, again, at the Kiel. Stevie Wonder opened that act. The Stones, of course, an English rock band formed in London, 1962, active all of these decades. They had kind of a, what they call a gritty, driven sound, hard-to-find rock, maybe. Their first stable lineup, Mick Jagger, I should say, except I think I said Nick earlier. It's obviously Mick Jagger. And as a vocalist, guitarist Keith Richards, they were the beginning of it. In fact, they were schoolmates and friends at a much younger age when they first met, then later came back together and formed the Stones. And then when they had formed the Stones and began to reach out, they were looking for opportunities to come into the U.S. Now, I want to point something out. For St. Louis, and you would probably know the name Steve Shankman, Contemporary Productions. It opened a Riverport Amphitheater originally. Now it's been changed with the casino buying the property. But Shankman actually helped produce and bring in major talent acts to the St. Louis area, and that included the Rolling Stones. But the Stones made their first appearance in the U.S., their first concert tour in the summer of '64, playing their gig June 5 at the Swing Auditorium in San Bernardino, California. A report on Stone's first to showing up in the USA.
America first heard their music in the mid-60s. Songs like Get Off of My Cloud, Ruby Tuesday, and this one. They came to the U.S. as part of the British invasion when rock groups from England were flooding the country and saturating the airwaves. They were unlike the Beatles, who were promoted as those nice boys next door. The Rolling Stones cultivated a darker, rebellious, outlaw image.
So don't play with me, 'cause you're playing with fire.
To many, the lyrics seemed almost threatening, and in some cases, much too suggestive. The words to their most famous song, Satisfaction, were considered so provocative at the time that ABC decided they weren't appropriate for the young audience watching Shindig. What he said was, make some girl. It's okay to tell you now.
That's an ABC 2020 report, and a lot of this information and sound bites do come from that report from ABC and others. So the Stones came into America beginning in 1964, part of the British invasion, as you were hearing. And they had mixed reviews by some of those that were listening to them. After that opening performance in San Bernardino, California, they completed a 12-date run, stops in San Antonio, Texas, Chicago. And then they did the legendary national TV performance on The Ed Sullivan Show in New York. ABC 2020 again back in 1989 on some of the background of the Stones.
Stones. How do they sound now? What do they look like? How have they managed to stay together? We're going to cover all of that in their first network interview since 1978, and that too, by the way, was on 2020. It's been 8 years since the Stones last toured, but they went back on stage 3 weeks ago, and Stone Phillips caught up with the group in the Midwest. So we'll also get a taste of their life on the road that is rarely seen. Of course, the big question is, after 25 years, can the Stones still live up to their reputation? And given their reputation, many people are just amazed that they're still alive.
Yeah! Rolling Stones! Get in there! Get in there!
This is the Rolling Stones concert tour that was never supposed to happen. People said the bad boys of rock and roll had finally been done in by egos, old age, and the domestic life. That Mick Jagger, the frenetic lead singer, would never perform like a man possessed. And that Keith Richards, the gritty guitar player, would never forgive Jagger for separating from the group 4 years ago. Then the tour began. Now the critics are raving. Variety calls it the year's biggest and best. The New York Times says the band's still kicking hard. And that if Jagger, at 46, is feeling his age, it doesn't show.
Now again, that was Jagger, 46, was in 1989, part of a 2020 interview. A question for Jagger is, they hit the shores originally in the U.S., comparing themselves to the Beatles. His response.
How do you compare your group with the Beatles?
I don't know. How do you compare it with the Beatles? I don't compare it at all. You know, there's no point.
Well, let's get right down to brass tacks. Do you think you're better than they are?
What? You know, it's not the same group, so we just do what we want and they do what they want, and there's no point in going on and comparing us. You can prefer us to them or them to us. Mm. This is diplomatic, you see.
Very diplomatic, and I don't want to labor it, but do you feel you do what you want to do better than they do what they want to do?
Yes. Probably. I don't know. I don't know what they want to do, you see. Very diplomatic.
The first tour was tough. We were popular in New York and popular in LA. The bits on the edges, but, you know, there's the big bit in the middle where no one knows you. You know, we used to play empty stadiums. The good thing, though, was the Beatles have done this before, so we didn't have to go in there first. We knew it was going to be really tough. We knew it wasn't going to be easy.
In other words, they were playing small groups, 1,500, 2,000. If they got 4,000, that was a big group. And Jagger did an interview with 2020.
Absolutely electrifying on the stage.
Listen to this. Flattery.
Absolutely.
Total flattery.
Well, the fans we talked to were all in agreement. But what's it like for you up on the stage? Is it an electrifying experience for you?
It can be. There's moments where it's you can get carried away with yourself, carried away with the show, and you don't quite know what you're doing. You're just becoming so much of a part of it. But it's where the sort of madness takes over. It's where the really good performances. That's the difference between a performance that's really a good average performance and a great one.
Great performances are what audiences have come to expect from the Stones. In New York City alone, 300,000 tickets, average price $28, sold out in a record 6 hours. Before the tour ends, 3 million fans in 30 cities will experience the greatest rock and roll band in the world.
Those $38 tickets, again, we're talking about 1989. Now, I have a personal Stones song that I like. Why? And can you guess it? Well, there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
I can't get no satisfaction.
There you have it. That was my favorite song. And I'll tell you when I would be listening to it. I would have finished my day as a roustabout in the West Texas oil field and driving my car back home. And I had my senior ring on my left hand at the time. And I had it up on top, tapping, tapping, tapping on the roof. It was not good for the roof. But I'm tapping, and I loved hearing that song every time it came on. I didn't recognize it as being possibly obscene at the time. I thought it was great music. Now, the Stones performed again in St. Louis during the COVID era. And in fact, there were many who showed up in the audience that were wearing COVID masks. This was in September of 21, what was called the, as they kicked off the No Filter Tour at the Dome at America Center.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Rolling Stones!
So were some of you in the midst of that screaming crowd September 26, 2021? It also, in 1997, had been at St. Louis at the Dome of America Center for their Bridges to Babylon tour. Then it was called the TWA Dome, if you remember. But then, of course, like everyone, the options in life are you either die young or you grow older and older. And again, a 2020 interview with Mick Jagger and Keith Richards about how their life had changed. And keep in mind, Mick Jagger had made it clear he always wanted to have control in his life.
Jagger says that driven quality is something he turns on and off when he wants, and that he's much different when he's at home with actress model Jerry Hall and their two children.
You don't want to be totally work obsessed only, but just staying at home with the kids is probably frustrating as well. So you have to be balanced in your life and have time to have pleasure and fun and time to really have hard work and time to have family relationships and friends and not be so hard work that you can't enjoy them. I mean, when I'm working, I'm really driven. When I'm not at all driven. It's just, that's the way I am now.
Keith Richards, who once seemed to be self-destructing on drugs, says he's never felt better. He and his wife, model Patty Hansen, have two daughters.
Impetuous youth and gone.
Is your music still the most important thing in your life, would you say, at this point in your life?
Probably. It's very hard for me to answer that, but probably yes. It always has been, but then I can't put that above friends and family.
Friends and family. They still basically were grounded as they got older. As Keith Richards said, that impetuous youth went away. We all have our youthful sins. I'll be the first to admit to them. I'm not asking you, but I'm sure you have too. This all began as a little garage band playing material by Muddy Waters, Chuck Berry, Little Richard, Bo Diddley, and grew into a legendary band, 250 million sales. That's a minimum estimation. The Rolling Stones, and with numerous appearances in St. Louis. And ending their tour when they wrapped up as a group in Branson, Missouri. The Rolling Stones. I know many of you enjoy this feature that it's always in our 6 o'clock hour, and I hope you spread the word to others because it changes on a regular basis as to what's happening on that date, and it may be something I'm directly involved in or just relating an event of that date. And reference that. The story behind the story coming up Monday. This month, 1984, the movie that prompted the PG-13 rating. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Bill has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Bill. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. VincentsJewelers.com. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And, of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And, again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law has already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Underlaw.com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.